Ask the Podcast Coach for October 11th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
It wouldn't be Saturday morning if we started dancing, right? That's no fun. Oh, wait, I gotta get Jim on camera. There we go. Keep going, buddy. Yeah. Work it. Work it. Hey, it's Saturday morning. It's Ask the Podcast Coach, where we answer your questions. We're the only, the world's first ever call-in show where you get your podcast questions answered live. And you can call in. It's 845-262-2401. I'm your friendly neighborhood podcast coach, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. And joining me right over there is the one, the only, don't be fooled by cheap imitations, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going this morning?
Greetings, Dave. Borrowing the Gallup studios this morning again. We've got some high school students in for our internship program for the next 6 weeks or so. So I'll be coming to you live from the Gallup studios.
For the next six weeks? That'll be cool. See, I don't know why. I picture you like in a, what do you call the person that's on the witness stand? Like you're on the witness stand. Like there's a big.
Yeah, or a bad 70s basement.
Yeah, he's got big giant speakers for the quad. Yeah,
that's right. One of our marketing guys really loves this background, and I'm not a big fan of it, but it works. It's what we use. It's where I'm at right now. So, actually, right over there, I could spin the studio around, and there's some bookshelves and some books and some nice things to look at. That's what I prefer. He really likes this, so I'm staying with this look for now. So,
well, I'm actually going to be changing my look here, maybe. If I get a chance, right now I have pinned myself in. I've got the bookcase behind me, and which is fine. And my desk is, I have a wall here, so basically I'm in a corner. I've pinned myself in the corner. And Steve Stewart was here last weekend, and we're kind of hanging out. And it doesn't work because Steve was on the other side of this desk, so we're talking over the monitor. And you know, I can't hang. I have my little backdrop thing that I used to use. And it's just I'm just pinned in here. So what I'm going to do is move this off the wall, and then that will be my backdrop. And it's just a matter of if I get to take everything off my desk and move it 4 feet that way. And that's always fun. Anytime you move anything, it's always a treat.
Well, and then you got to test everything once you move it, right? I mean, because you can't trust anything at that point. So you got to spend another hour or so. Yeah. Once I move my studio around or I change anything in the studio, I'll call somebody, usually it's Mike Howard, and say, hey, can we test for a little bit? And so we'll just go back and forth and have a conversation and talk about our Amazon affiliate link and those kinds of things, which I happen to beat him every single month.
There you go.
Anyway, but just not being competitive at all. but that's one of those things I think we say this over and over and over again. If you got a fixed studio, man, you have to test that stuff, especially if you're live. You have to test that stuff before you use it again if you've moved anything around.
Yeah, I had a fun thing this morning where I rebooted my computer and it rebooted and just came up black. That was it. And this is where knowing a couple keyboard shortcut keys come in handy. One is Control Escape. This is on a Windows machine. Will bring up your what is it called? The Start menu, basically. And sure enough, it popped up. And once I started like clicking around, I don't know if Explorer behind the screens was not working, but that and then, of course, the three-fingered salute of Control Alt Delete seemed to kind of shake up a bit.
There was a big Windows update this week, and so maybe it's just finally getting to you.
Hey, if you want to join in on the conversation, we would love to have you. That number, of course, is 845-262-2401. That's 845-262-2401. And obviously, if you have a question about anything, we will take that. But I have a question for you guys this week, being that I am now the director of the podcast track at New Media Expo. And that is, and it doesn't have to be a podcast. It can be any kind of presentation. Can you remember a presentation that stuck in your head? Like if somebody said, man, that was one of the best presentations I ever saw. What was it? And why was it one of the best you ever saw? That's what I'm looking for today. Like, what do you define as a good presentation? As I get ready to probably in a week or so, they're going to hit me with the giant list of submissions. I haven't seen any yet, but I was.
Dave, how long are you going to allow for those presentations? How long are those sessions?
The sessions, I believe, are kind of the same typical thing. I think they're 40 minutes, and then there's 10 minutes of questions, I think is the general idea. I'll have to double check on – I'd have to look at last year's schedule, to be honest with you. But the deadline to get them submitted is the 24th of October. And that is a hard deadline, I am told. That is not a, hey, I'm sorry, can I still – no. So just so you know right now, no. It's they do that. From understand, that's always been a case that they don't – if you, you know, they've had, you've had basically the whole month to submit them. So, that is the plan on that. So.
I'm not even, because I podcast with you every week, I'm going to save you the trouble and I'm not even going to submit one. Cause I know if I submitted one and I made it,
be like, of course Jim is. Yeah. You
know, so I'm not even going to submit. I'll figure out some other way to help.
Well, there you go. Thank you. Well, I guess, I don't know, man, you got a great background. I mean, you got that. Well,
hey, I get to talk. Listen, I get to do a session. I get to do an hour-long session every single week. You guys hear what I would talk about. So I'm not sure I have any more to add from that standpoint, from a conference standpoint. I mean, you get a conference for us, from us. It's like you speaking, right? I mean, we hear you all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you go to those conferences and speak, but I mean, you do this every week. And yeah. So it's
– it is kind of hard at times when I get asked to speak someplace. It's like, okay, now I have to come up with something new. And what's really hard is if I come up with something and I really like it, it's really hard not to talk about it on the microphone and kind of keep it for the presentation. So that's always kind of interesting. Let's see, that Tuesday. Oh, yes. Yeah, that is – well, not the 24th, Fred, is the final date for NMX proposal submissions. The 24th, according to the website, nmxlive.com. And I'm actually on Fred's show right now if you want to hear me talk about this. On the podcast reporter, Fred had me go over what is the criteria, what I'm looking for. And I was kind of jokingly before we hit record, I said, well, really the biggest criteria is don't suck. And then that led me to the question like, okay, well, what makes a good presentation and things of that nature? And that's where I thought, well, if you got questions, obviously we'll talk about anything. But if you have one,
you know, Dave, it's a little scary when we talk about presentation. I mean, I think style matters and of course content and all those things. And I would caution anyone of trying to do a presentation or be a presenter on and doing or presenting in a way you're not comfortable with. I mean, I think you need to find your cadence and your style. I listen to a variety of podcasts and I appreciate all of them for their different styles. And so, you know, as you were thinking, you know, what's the best presentation you've ever seen or what made it, a great presentation? You know, I think some of the best presentations I've seen going way back when I was a kid and watching President Reagan do his presentations and the way he did it, he was just a moving, you know, he had just some moving speeches in what he did. Those movies, in the same, I mean, on the absolute opposite side, I really appreciated. And I didn't align with him politically, but I really appreciated the way Bill Clinton could speak to people. He could grab you and hold you and. Not literally, but sometimes, but and really be able to move you in some ways. And so two totally different presentation styles, two totally different political orientations, and yet a presentation style that matched or was, you know, they were just good at what they did. And so I always say, be true to your presentation style. I know I'm going to get some hate mail now.
You remember Reagan? Reagan had that whole, like, I'm just like you thing going on, like, well, here's the way it is, mommy. You know, it's like. And he's just kind of like, he wasn't
well,
like.
Well, but he had some of the best State of the Union messages.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
holy moly, he could get up there. He would nail those.
Yeah.
And yet I liked when Clinton is really good on the fly. This is a guy who can get in a room and be asked anything. And man, he will, I mean, he'll move you on any question, anytime. He is just ready. And so it's one of those things as a speaker, I think just being comfortable with your material and being you, being true to you, and not everybody's a good public speaker. So that's another thing, is kind of self-awareness of like, is this something that drives you? Do you like doing this or do you dread doing this?
Yeah.
If you dread doing it, you know what? There's other things you can do.
Yeah. That's one of the things I think I'm going to end up getting on the phone with a lot of people. Because I always go back to, I went to a presentation by a guy from Google, on Google Analytics, and, you know, I'm sure a very knowledgeable guy, zero in the presentation department in terms of, you know, engaging and just he was like the epitome of the nerd getting up there and he didn't even bring up the software till like 40 minutes into the presentation. I'm like, what are you doing? So,
yeah, well, I still think you should have him submit, you know, videos. So, their elevator speech, 3 minutes, tell me what you're going to talk about. If they can't condense into 3 minutes, they're not going to condense it down to 40, you know? And so, you know, I'd ask for videos.
And then the other thing we can get your opinion on is what are your feelings on panels? Like there's the solo person that does it, and then there's, you know, the group of four.
Yeah, I've seen, and that again, that it comes down to personality. So yeah. I've seen some really good panels and I've seen some snoozers. I think the trick is to not have a panel that agrees. I mean, getting four people that all have the same, yeah, this is great, isn't helpful. I think, getting an opposite opinion on things where people who will bring up controversial or get a little argumentative on that or challenge each other, because conflict, I think conflict breeds out truth in a lot of ways, right? Because if everybody's agreeing, I think sometimes you just gloss over things and they're not necessarily, that may not be the best way, but you add a little conflict to it and it really forces the truth out. And so I like panels that are a little, that where not everybody agrees on everything. So that would be my, and not argument for argument's sake, right? You and I see different on some things, and I've mentioned those. We've never had a nasty argument or called each other stupid, or, right? Right?
You know? What?
Yeah. Oh, you want to start now?
Yeah. I disagree. But, I think we disagree a lot, and I think we're really nasty. I disagree about how the way we disagree.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, well, we did have a question come in. I do like the way we're. Oh, how do you scroll down on the chat room? Here we go. I found the scroll button. I am more. This is from Randy Cantrell. I'm more attracted to storytellers versus fact givers. I'm with that as well. Any kind of behind the scenes stuff is always good, even if it's a fact. It's kind of a story and a fact at the same time. He says, of course, it's hard to argue against a 20-minute presentation with 57 slides and a presenter who can channel Daffy Duck on speed. Excellent. Okay, so here's the question that I got via email. And I'm going to pronounce this Kane Dorr. It's CAINEDORR. And Kane Dorr sounds like a planet in Star Wars. What kind of advice would you give to someone whose podcast was driven by fiction content, a bit like Scott Sigler, but with nowhere near such an ongoing personality? It's not interviews. It's not helping people or professional focus. It seems that a lot of advice about podcasting is more geared toward all of those things that I mentioned above that I really don't do. My latest episode has the most conversation I've done with the audience ever, and it's only like 7 minutes. And I went, well, that is a good one because I don't do fiction. I would think it kind of goes back to, you know, I'm assuming there's some sort of, what's Dragon Con? That's sci-fi stuff. So is there any kind of event for fiction writers? You know, find out where that community is, find out where that audience is that does enjoy fiction. And again, go in, say hi, shake hands. I went to Cleveland, I live in a little metropolis called Rocky River, and they had the Rocky River Business Expo. And luckily it went till 7 o'clock. So I went right after work, met a bunch of people, and it was cool because they put on my little hello, I am. It's a Dave Jackson School of Podcasting. And I was going around looking at different booths, basically looking for a sign to put behind me and just see if there's anybody there that could use podcasting. And they're all, as soon as they saw podcasting, like, what is that? So it was really cool that I got to explain it to that. But it is a matter of, you kind of have to go to where your audience is. And, you know, in the meantime, focus on making that fiction as powerful as it can be, I would guess. Jim, any insights on that one? That's the only one I went,
Yeah. Yeah, no, not a lot on that one. I don't have much there. Sorry.
Yeah, I guess it depends on whatever the, you know, fiction is. There's another broad one. That's like saying podcasting. Well, is it, you know, is it mystery? Is it, you know, romance? Is it, you know, that type of thing? And then figure out where your audience is and go say howdy, you know, check, maybe there's a Google Plus forum. Maybe there's a Facebook group. Maybe there's a LinkedIn group, you know, go over to meetup.com and, you know, find out where they
are. That's a great tip right now. Meetup.com is blowing up.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're wanting to find really like-minded individuals, that's a great platform to do it. And a little expensive for me. I wish it was just a smidge cheaper.
Yeah.
It's just every time I go over there and I want to start a group, I'm like, is it really worth? And I forget what the price is.
It's $20 a month.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm sure I get that much value out of, you know, for a startup group of four,
yeah,
or whatever. It would be nice maybe on size too, like if you got, you know, groups of 10 for free and then it graduated its way up.
Yeah. And then I think that's why some people charge for it, which I'm not, but I'm sure if I went to everybody and said, look, can anybody chip in $2 for the meeting? But then I feel stupid asking people for $2. So it's like,
Yeah, well, there's easy ways to do that now. I mean, with various apps and such, yeah, where people can make donations. And you know, I found what's interesting is we've done, you know, podcasting now for 5 or 6 years, that there are just a group of people who will be really, really generous. And if you just ask, they'll give. And so if it lines up with what they believe in, and you're like, hey, I have a need here, I'm looking for someone who will sponsor the meetup group. Is there anybody out there who will do that? And maybe not, but depends on the group. But sometimes there would be. So if that's a financial, if that's for you, if it's not financially viable to drop $20 a month on a meetup group, and you have a group already established, see if there's someone who wants to sponsor that, right? See if, hey, we want to use meetup.com to do this. I want to know if someone will sponsor this. And give someone the opportunity to financially get involved in your group. But just saying, nobody will do it, rule that out after you've asked. You know, if you ask and then nobody does it, well, yeah, nobody will do it. But yeah. You never know. We've had circumstances where guys have donated to help to pay for forum software, or they've donated to pay just every once in a while. I get somebody who says, I want to give you a donation. I don't even ask for them. You can't even do it on my site.
Yeah.
You know, you can't give me a donation. And they ask me, where do I give a donation? And I'm like, I don't really take them. Use my Amazon affiliate link.
Yeah, I had somebody this week from my Marketing Musician podcast said, Dave, why is there no donate button on your website? And I'm like, hold on, give me 2 seconds and there will be. That was kind of cool. Hey,
I say no. When they say now, I say no donations. I don't want to create a link for one person, have it go through PayPal. They take money. It's messy. I've just said no donations. If you want to support me, support me through things, through my affiliate links. And that's just kind of where I've landed at this point.
Right. Because it's you can go get that link in PayPal and just send it to that person, which is always interesting because the person's like, I really want to donate. You're like, here it is. You got one click away. Now, are you going to donate or not? It's like, let's see it happen. I don't know if we mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but we are at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We are there every Saturday. And of course, if you want to join in on the conversation, it is 845-262-2401. I'll get you right through. No waiting at this point. Open lines, 845-262-2401. You want to stir up some controversy?
Yeah, let's do it.
I had a weird conversation on this one. And here's the problem. The word is need. Somebody said, when do you need a mixer? And I went, well, when you have more than one person in the same room, you need a mixer so you can have two people plugged into your mixer that goes into whatever you're recording. If you're doing like we're doing right now and you're mixing in sounds, so if you're a one person and you want to record your show kind of live and go into your recording device, you would need a mixer, one for your sound effect thingy and one for your microphone. And that's kind of where I drew the line. I'm like, I don't really think that's, you know, you can do Skype, and that this is where the problem runs into. You can do Skype without a mixer, right, and record it with Pamela or call recorder on the Mac, things like that. And the one person was like, no, everybody needs a mixer because, of course, it can shape your voice. And you can make it, I can sit here and make me bassy. I can do this and I can turn up, I can make me really clear. But you can do that via software. So I think that's the problem was that the point that they were making was, do you need that? And I was like, well, you don't technically need a mixer. So I don't know if that's that controversial, but do you think you need a mixer to start?
I don't think you need one, but I think they're super handy.
Yeah.
Right. It's one of those things, and the expense is not that much more. And by the way, I would be referring to a USB mixer, right? So if it's not coming in USB and you're having to run it in through a sound card, I don't think that's as helpful. But for the beginning podcaster, a small USB mixer, maybe 2 to 4 XLRs on there, to get going with that. I think you'll find that really helpful and handy. Here at the Gallup Studios, I'm using a Mackie Pro FX12, and that gives me 6 inlines. Those have actually become really handy because we're starting to do voiceover work here in the studio. So just the other day, I had 2 gals in here, and we were recording a conversation that would make its way into some training material. And so it allows me to add, I could add up to, another 5 people in the room to get a roundtable discussion if I wanted to. So that gives me some options. If it's a home studio and you're planning on bringing people in, then you absolutely want to have a mixer to be able to do that. You're going to have to, not have to, you could fake it another way, but it's not great. You want to run them all through. I think you want to run them through a mixer. So I would say if you're thinking about that basic setup, you're looking at maybe a 8-channel, 4 to 8. I mean, a 4-channel mixer is only going to give you 2 XLRs. And if you're going to spend that kind of money, you might as well go up to an 8. That'll give you 4. And so I would, something like that, $99 to $250, just depending on what your budget is and what you buy. Start with a single microphone. And if you need more, just buy them on Amazon. Drop ship them as you need them, right? I wouldn't go buy 4 microphones to start with. Buy one for yourself. If you have a guest coming in, buy them as you need it. You can get it 2 days off Amazon, $60 for ATR 2100s. And then these arms are very, very helpful in your studio.
Oh, man.
The Rode arm is $100, but we're starting to see some of them down as cheap as $25 or $15. And so you can get them fairly inexpensive now. And, the quality is going to be – you get what you pay for.
Right.
But – those would be some things I would think, even starting, Dave, those would be some recommendations for me. Even though we've talked against that, you don't need all this equipment. Just go, plug it in. Yeah. If you're going to be a solo podcaster and your budget's super thin, just go with a mic, plug it in via USB, and you're done. I mean, you absolutely can do that.
Yeah.
But I don't think the next step up's all that expensive either.
No, that's, I love the, I think this arm is, was $35. It was, I don't know if it was Griffin. I forget the name of the company, and it's not a whole lot. I've seen the Rode. I've seen the Heil one that's like an arm and a leg, but, you can see,
I mean, it's more expensive than the microphone.
Yeah, exactly. And in the background, you can see, I've got the one desk stand here that just goes on the stand. It's and it has a little boom arm, and, that I think is $30. And that was really cool for a while before I went to the boom thing. Cause it was always sitting on my desk and always in the way. And now when I'm not doing podcasting stuff, I just push it out and there it is. And when I need it, I just, bring it down and we're good to go. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think the mixer gives you some really good, and you mentioned this, gives you some really good sound options. So it allows you to, I had Addie on my show on Thursday. She came on. She's, by the way, awesome interview and great with tech. So, Addie, I don't know if you want to do interviews for everybody, but if you're looking for a great person to interview, Addie is the one to have on your show. She did great. We're going to have her back in December to talk about Christmas gifts. But
sweet. What show is that?
Say it again.
What show is that?
So that's my Home Gadget Geeks.
Home Gadget Geeks. Okay.
Home Gadget Geeks over at the Average Guy at TV.
Cool.
So, and it's not even released on the site yet. So if you go over there, I'll be editing it this weekend. But Addie, in real time, at the end of the show, I was like, "Hey, so you're a sound, you're a sound engineer. Tell me how my sound is." And she's like, "Actually, you're a little bassy." And so we did some in real time. We did some adjustments to get my sound right, and so that was a huge benefit to me. If I had been USB, I probably wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't have had those options. Now,
right.
On the flip side of that, I saw a thing with Ray Ortega likes to record flat.
Yeah.
And then he will change that sound in post-production. And that's another way to do it too. So not saying right or wrong. It just gives you, you know, a mixer like money just gives you more options, you know? So.
Yeah. Ray over at podcasterstudio.com is in the deep end of the pool of audio. The last three episodes, he interviewed the guy from, Auphonic for two episodes, and now he interviewed some guy. I got to go watch the video. I listened to the podcast, and they go through kind of the audio spectrum of a voice and what different Hertz do and things like that. And I was listening to it, and I'm like, I just need to go watch the video, it sounds like. But man, digging deep down over there, was like, wow, okay, that's good. Which, again, that's actually one of the things I'm going to be talking about on this week's School of Podcasting. I found some good examples of people that are taking topics that everybody else is talking about, and they're putting their little spin on it. And so there's an example where, you know, Ray is a quote podcaster about podcasting, and but Ray really loves, he's not like a sound I don't know, Nazi or whatever you want to call it. That's not the right phrase, but he's not super picky, but he wants his sound to be as good as it can get. And
He has high standards for himself and does not superimpose those on other people. That's what I appreciate about Ray.
Yeah.
On that is he doesn't talk down, doesn't come in forums and say, you know, most podcasters audio just blows. You know, he's so kind and considerate about it. And when it comes to audio, and he will absolutely do anything to help you. If you're having trouble with your sound, catch Ray on Google Plus and just drop him a note there. I mean, he is really good at that. So
yeah,
that's one of those things I appreciate about Ray is he just does a great job in the podcasters community of being very helpful around sound.
And I forgot to mention this when we were talking about that one question earlier, so I actually have a soundbite for this.
And now, it's time for a pet peeve.
So, my pet peeve on this, which is sad because on one hand I want questions, but just so you know, when we're talking about Kane Dorr's fiction question, Kane had they didn't mention their show name. Like, if I wanted to go listen to it so I could give them better feedback, there was no link to their website and no, like, for me, here's something you guys can do today that I guarantee you will get you more listeners by the end of the week. Now, how many more listeners? It depends on how many emails you send, but go into Google. If you're using Gmail, go into settings and look for where it says signature and just where you have your name and whatever, make sure you have your website address, because I click on those things all the time because I'll scroll. And I'm like, all right, somebody sent me 27 paragraphs. Hold on. Let me just go to the bottom and click on their link and see what's going on here before I figure out if I'm going to go read. I mean, I read all emails, but if I'm in a hurry, I'm like, all right, is there a way I can cut to the chase here and just go to their website? And I'm amazed at how many people don't put their website anywhere in their site. And then, so your second thing is, and I'm guilty of this, your email address has nothing that would point me to your website. So it's not like, you know, like mine, if I use my Gmail account, it's schoolofpodcasting@gmail.com. But most of the time it's dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. So people can, again, figure out your website. And when you make people have to dig, you know, most of us are going to say, I don't have time to dig that. And I was just, that is a pet peeve of mine that I'm like, oh,
I would. Yeah, and I'm jim@theaverageguy.tv. So I do that as well. To give that, you know, put your domain. I like it. I don't like the Gmail side where you put your podcast name on the left side of the at as opposed to having your own domain. I like setting up your, and that used to be free in a lot of cases. You could use either Microsoft or Google, you know, the Google business accounts to get that domain set up for free with email. The Microsoft and Google have both discontinued that. And there are a few other ones that are kind of obscure, but those are getting kind of few and far between. So you're probably going to pay your ISP in a lot of cases. If you are, like Hover is who I use for my domain registration. They will sell you an email box for $25 a year or something like that. I'd have to go back and look to see exactly what it is. But sometimes you can get that. And trust me, setting up an email account like, you know, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com is not as easy as you think it is sometimes if you're going to go with a off-branded route. You're going to have to do some things with your website. You're going to have to set some MMX or some MX records. You're going to have to, yeah, you know, it's a little messy for the beginner. And so you might just want to check with some providers that'll do that for you if you're low tech.
Or you can watch the video at theschoolofpodcasting.com.
Booyah.
Because it goes right through there. Because yeah,
you got you got one on that?
Yeah, I have the ability to, in Gmail, I can send as Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com.
Oh, yeah.
So there's cool. So that way, depending on what I'm doing, you know, if it's, you know, if it's you or whatever, that sounds well, if it's just you, but I mean, if it's you, I'm like, all right, you know, cause I think the default is schoolofpodcasting@gmail.com. I'm like, all right, here you go. But if I'm sending, you know, hey, would you like to come speak at the New Media Expo? Okay. That's definitely Dave@schoolofpodcasting.com kind of thing. So it does give you a little more, I don't know. There's something about the whole free email account. I'm always amazed too. That it, when you set up your email account, be sure to put your name, because I'll at times I'll get go into my inbox and it just says it's from, and then it'll see the email address instead of saying, you know, Bill Smith or Steve Stewart, it'll say, you know, whatever, j27@gymmom, you know, .com or whatever. And I'm like, who? But if I see somebody's name, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. All right. So
it's Gym Mom. What? That's GYM.
Yes. Yes.
Gym Mom. Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing I've tried two different for my podcast. So we had podcast at theaverageguy.tv and I've had gym at theaverageguy.tv. And for 3 years, I put out, you know, send me an email, podcast at theaverageguy.tv. Not a lick.
Really?
Nobody sent me emails there. So I'm like, huh, I wonder if I changed it. So I changed it to gym. All of a sudden, like, you know, not thousands of emails, right. But people started, I think there's something personal. I think that when you say to your listeners, contact me at an address that doesn't make any sense, like podcast. And it to us, it makes sense because we're trying to separate those emails out, right? We don't necessarily want them coming into our personal account or whatever. But to the end user, I think they feel that feels very cold, and to have it Dave at the schoolpodcasting.com or Jim at theaverageguy.tv, I think seems more personal, like, oh, I get to email him directly. And so I have nothing to back that up. I have no stats to say it's true, but my experience was when I changed that to a more personal email account, I got more responses from the listeners. So if you're doing, you know, a cold generic email account for your podcast and you're not getting much traffic on it, maybe consider changing that over to a more personal account. You'll have to hold on to the old one because it's embedded in a bunch of shows at this point. And that's the other thing, you know, I have to hold on to podcast at theaverageguy.tv because it could show up. I mean, there's 100 shows where I say that. And sometimes people go back in your back catalog. So just a little tip there, try. I don't know if it will work for you, but that's one of those things that worked for me.
Hey, I'm going to share my screen here, but obviously this is primarily an audio podcast, but I wanted to share, there's a thing on SoundCloud. This is on hypebot.com, which is a music marketing website. And it says SoundCloud's efforts to find a sustainable business model have hit a major roadblock. Talks with the three major label groups have stalled, according to new reports, because rights holders are not satisfied with the royalties that SoundCloud is offering. Communications with Universal were reportedly cut off more than 2 weeks ago. It says the rumor mill these days virtually signed. What? The rumor mill had these deals virtually signed a month ago. Oh, but now the deal stopped SoundCloud from much needed monetization of licensed content on the site. It says the clock is ticking on how long they can continue to operate as a service that's unmonetized. An unnamed source at a major label told, in this case, the Financial Times. So it's one of those where it's like, all right, SoundCloud. Because here again, I've said, you know, $15 for unlimited. Now, there is an asterisk. You can't unload, you know, 8 billion gigs of space. But it's just one of those where it's like, they did come out. They're going to start taking advertising. And that's where I said to them, I thought it was weird again that they keep saying they're embracing podcasting, but their bread and butter is the music business. Cause when they came out with the whole brochure on, hey, you can start monetizing your music with ads, there wasn't a at the very bottom. It was like, oh, by the way, we do podcasting, but all the pictures were people with guitars and musicians. Cause that's their bread and butter. I don't expect them to drop that, but it is, to me, again, I have somebody asked me today about SoundCloud, and I'm like, you know, I have nothing against them. I use them as a secondary source, just as a test right now. But I'm getting occasionally double digits on a download over there. Most of the time, it's, you know, 7, 8, 4, you know, because I don't promote it. It's just, it's in my stream. I throw it on Tumblr. You know, I'm just throwing it on the wall to see if it would stick. But I saw that and I was like, oh, that's as much as it's the big shiny thing, it's like, meh. And that's the thing that always has me worried is there is a lot of unlicensed music on SoundCloud. You don't have to dig too far to find that. And I was like, if they don't come up with something, that's eventually going to be a problem, I think.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about this. And I like saying SoundCloud as an evangelism site. You know, it's a secondary site. If you're going to use it in that way. You still have to, if you're going to do this long term, if you're going to get a bunch of video, you know, a bunch of audio and video out there, you really need to host your own media from that standpoint. You can do it easily with Ellipsen or Blueberry. We mention them all the time. You can self-host, and I'm a big proponent of self-hosting at this point because it really does guarantee. I mean, Ellipsen and Blueberry, solid as, you know, the day is long, right? So I'm not worried about them financially, but that doesn't mean somebody could do something wonky inside that organization next week and a very important person in that company decides to leave or they decide to sell. And that doesn't mean things won't change there either. And so really the only way to guarantee yourself that it's not going to happen is to self-host at that point and basically be your own content provider. Stats, of course, are one of those things that are going to get different. Libsyn's got some great stats. You can buy Blueberry stats. You can do it that way. But self-hosting isn't as hard as everybody thinks it is. And once you set that up, moving from provider to provider with self-hosting, that's the part where you don't have to go back into your posts and change them all if you do self-hosting. So if you have to change providers, you're going to move your URL from one site to another and that whole file structure is going to go with it. And you won't have to go back into your posts. If you go from, if you start at SoundCloud and then you decide to go to Libsyn, right? Which a lot of people do at this point, you're going to have to go into every single one of those posts and change that MP3 URL to point it from SoundCloud back to Libsyn if you're using WordPress as a provider. So it gets a little sticky. I just would not be my primary, you know, content provider. Use it. It's great. SoundCloud's got some great stuff. Audio Boom has got some great stuff. Mixler's got some great stuff. Spreaker's got some great stuff, but that don't land there. Okay.
So when you say self-hosting, you mean on like a web host kind of thing?
Yeah. And you really need a VPS to get this done.
Okay.
And the problem is this is going to be, this could be a little more expensive for you than some of those other providers. However, you have complete control. So you would go purchase some VPS, your own, and I would not do shared hosting for this, right? So I would buy my own VPS where I got my own kind of sliced out part of the pie. And all these providers have some bandwidth plans that are in there. And then you would set up a file structure in there and point it out towards the web. And then I would upload my MP3s there and they're going to get an address that's going to be like, in my case, theaverageguy.tv/audio/homegadgetgeeks154, right? That's what I'm going to get. And I own that structure because I own theaverageguy.tv. I own that structure. And if I have to move providers, I can physically pick up that whole structure, move it over to a new provider, drop it, upload the files, and I'm done. And I don't have to change anything in my WordPress instance. That's harder than using Libsyn or Blueberry or some of those other providers that do all that stuff for you. That's a more advanced option, but that guarantees total control. We don't talk about that a lot in these. I don't hear very many people talking about that in the pod. Everyone assumes they have to buy one of these services, and that's not necessarily the case. You can set up your own. It's a little more advanced, and you're kind of on your own.
Yeah,
but so that's an easy way to do it.
A little more advanced, and it's a little more expensive. And
not in all cases is it more expensive.
Yeah.
Not in all cases. So it can be very similar in pricing. I mean, a lot of these providers are very aggressive.
Right.
And I think about, so if you haven't looked at Amazon or Azure in the last year, their prices for bandwidth have plummeted and storage have plummeted. I mean, it's a race to the bottom.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to play with that because it's been, man, probably 4 years since I played with Amazon at this point. And I just know I had maybe 10 episodes and my bill was $41. And I went,
yeah, it's been a while, though, right?
I mean, I'm like, I need to go back and see how long it takes me to go, yeah, okay, well, time to lose.
Azure's had 4 pricing changes in the last year alone. I mean, once a quarter, they're dropping their prices because of competition.
Right.
Again, it's more complicated. It could be more expensive. Although in the long run, it could be less expensive, especially if you look at a Lipson plan and you're going to do something daily, or you're going to do something more, you know, that goes beyond their structure.
Right.
It, you know, again, your mileage may vary. I'm not trying to do a blanket statement, say it's better or worse. It's just another option. It's the option I use, to be frank about it. I don't use any of those other services. I am a self-hoster. And, you know, I chew up about 600 gig of bandwidth every single month to do that. And so, anyways, I've been wanting to say that for a while, because we pimp and pitch those plans like it's the only, you know, there's SoundCloud, but really the real way is Lipson. Well, that is a way, right? Yeah. There's other ways to do it.
So speaking of, you were talking, before we hit record, that, you do your Gallup show, and I think you were using Spreaker, and now you're moving to Mixler, which is what we use both on Saturday, 'cause we're just crazy. But give us the behind the scenes of that. Why was that?
So here's the deal, right? Just full transparency, because I'm never going to lie to you guys. I'm really struggling to get internal RSS feeds. So there's a whole bunch of stuff I need to do. Our original websites here at Gallup weren't set up to handle podcasting, and there's been some things that we've had to do, and actually it's all set up and ready to go. I need some design, front end design work done. And they won't release the website until the front end design work is done. We have a brand new website coming out here in just 2 weeks for Gallup.com, and that's consumed all our resources. So I'm, as a blogger and podcaster now, I'm a little bit behind the priority curve, so to speak. And so I'm not getting my resources allocated. So I'm frustrated that I can't get my RSS feeds out. I'm thinking at this point I'm going to use Spreaker temporarily for my RSS feed for my total master feed, right? So all the webcasts that we do are on a single Spreaker account, and I'm going to create a master feed, because I keep getting customers emailing me saying, when are you going to get that iTunes set up and working? I don't want to use Spreaker. It's kind of clunky, and I want to use iTunes, right? So the problem is, Dave, if you do Spreaker live, every time you post a live show, it would automatically hit the RSS feed, create a new instance on iTunes. And what we do is we create a live feed. It sits out there for the week while we're editing it. And then once we edit it, we remove the live audio, and we insert new video, new audio for that show, which means people would be getting double pumped, so to speak, on our end. And that's confusing, and I don't want that. So I think I'm going to move to Mixler, and Mixler's great for live because it's only live, right? You can do some trickery to get it up there once it's recorded, but they really focus on the live. So I think I'm going to switch our live feed only to Mixler, and we'll never edit those shows. That's just where the live feed will be, and they'll be over there. And then Spreaker will become our uploaded audio only, and the iTunes feed, until I get it situated correctly, will be hosted from Spreaker. And we've got all that, you know, we're iHeartRadio, so we got that big, we got that big allotment of space. And then I'll submit that to iTunes for my master feed to start with. And when we do get the websites up and running, I'll just resubmit the new feed to them and get that changed over. I'm super confident that's not as hard as everybody makes it. Just update that feed to them, and it'll change over. And then at the time they change over, I'm going to get feeds for each one of our 3 shows. So we'll get 4 new feeds at that point when we go forward. So that's why I'm going to be leaving Spreaker. I'm leaving Spreaker for the recorded, or for the live portion of it. It'll be recorded only, right, and then we're going to take our live stuff to Mixler.
Cool. Well, we actually have a caller ending in 0240. What's your name, and what's your question?
My name is Marcus from Laguna Beach, California.
Hey. Dave. What's going on, my man?
How are you?
Good.
I do have a question. I need to resurrect one of my old shows, and I need to know that you guys were hitting me exactly on the head as far as what it is to do. I've got a show that's got over 300 episodes, old music show, as you probably know what it is.
Right.
And I need to know where to put it. Like, is it even worth me archiving that stuff, leaving it up there, even though I haven't really done anything for a year? What do you think?
Good question. So where do I put a show that's pod faded, basically?
Yeah, exactly. Like, is it worth even keeping the archives up there? Is it worth, granted the fact that there are commercials in there that don't even apply and stuff that doesn't even work, but the content itself, I think it's good. And, it's like, do you pod save yet still leave your old stuff out there, or do you pod save and shut it off?
I guess it depends on I'm logging into my Libsyn account as we speak, because I've got a couple that have pod faded that I basically have put down. I mean, I have a show that I haven't put out a new episode called The Quiet Study Area, and every September that show goes bonkers because students are looking for stuff for music to study to. That's what it's designed for. And I'm always amazed. So that show doesn't do a huge number of downloads. But in September it does, September, every time school starts. So I'm looking at my stats.
Well, it sounds like you need to have an annual podcast every September.
Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. So I'm looking at a show I did with my wife called Healing Our Marriage. And for the most part, we're getting no downloads the last 3 months. In many cases, I'm going to say less than 10, 3, 2, 2, 1, and 0 for the one. And the last three, now the total downloads are over 1,000 for all of these. But at this point, I think most people log in, they see we did the proverbial 6 episodes and canned it. It kind of depends on what your goal is for the show. If there was evergreen content, like you said, if you have commercials in it that aren't going to work, there are free options. I can't think of the one off the top of my head. There's actually an audio hosting company that says they will pay you because they're going to run ads against your stuff, and it's free. And I believe they can suck your stuff in if you throw in an RSS feed. I just remember it ends in .io. I forget the name of the company off the top of my head. But I thought about taking some of the stuff I've had that have pod faded and just throwing it up there. I'm like, all right, look. And if they go out of business, whatever, because the show's dead.
Right. I don't really care. I have tried Dropbox, and it actually does work. It's just kind of a pain to go through and save every file and then get a shared name. And then you can actually, with WordPress, use PrettyLink and link to your Dropbox file and actually put that through the RSS feed, and it works.
I don't think Dropbox supports whatever it's called, byte range requests, so iTunes might choke on that. Mm-hmm. I would have to double check on that.
It may, but I've done it. Maybe I'll put something together for you and show how it's done.
Yeah, I know it'll download. I've seen people do that. It's just a matter of if it meets all the stupid Apple specs that they love to have and enforce.
If I were going to use Dropbox, I would use Mediafire before I use Dropbox. That's a service I've been using now for a couple months. Mediafire.com, $24 a year for 1 terabyte of space. They are really good at sharing. And again, I've been hesitant. I've been talking about them, but now that I've been using them for my video feeds, we create a video large and a video small, and I post them up there. And run out. You get 10 terabytes of bandwidth each month for that $24 a year. So this isn't one of these crazy unlimited plans. And they say it's unlimited, but they'll tell you. I interviewed them on a podcast. They gave me, they're like, yeah, we have a 10 terabyte limit, but if you're going to use more, just let us know. We'll figure something out for you. And it's been a great way to do it. So that might be another service to use. They are designed for media. So they're set up that way, and they've got some social sharing stuff coming. So that might be one to look at.
Yeah, and Michael Dell in the chat room. Michael Dell in the chat room says it's against the Dropbox terms of service. So you might have to dig through there to.
Yeah, just like it's against the Google terms of service. Try and put your podcast up on a Google Drive and share that thing. It takes about 3 seconds for them to lock that thing up. So do not want to try to do that on Google either. But I would avoid. I'm not a big fan of Dropbox for these kinds of things anyway. That's not the intended use of it. And so I would, if you're looking to store those, look for something more like a Mediafire that has some, because a lot of these cloud storage providers will, they're not, it's intended to share on a very limited basis. And so their bandwidth, mm-hmm. they're assuming the bandwidth consumption is going to be very, very small. If you put these things out there and you think only a few people are going to hit them from time to time, I think that's great. If you think it could go viral at some point and a bunch of people are downloading them, the last thing you want is to get locked up by, you know, by that storage provider and then again have to go change all those links. Yeah, I've liked Fire for that.
Yeah, the website I was talking about is audiometric.io. They say they will actually pay you for hosting your mm-hmm. files there because they're going to put ads at the beginning of it or something like that. And they've been moving very, very slow because when they first launched, I was like, hey, this sounds great, but, you know, go Google Podomatic, would you please? Or not Podomatic, but Podango. And you need to go find Lee Gibbons from Podango because this has been tried before, my friend. And I said, I hope it works. You know, that was a different time and a different place. Maybe there's enough listeners now that that would actually work. But, you know, they can, if you're looking for a free media host, I forget how much space you get. It's the ultimate podcasting platform. Easily earn with automatically inserted ads, plus host, manage, and grow your podcast 100% free of charge. Sure.
It just
seems so how many times have we heard that over the last
yeah.
10 years?
Yeah. Okay. But they don't say.
You know, I'm shying away from these businesses that promise that kind of stuff yeah. into the ones that don't. Right. I want to go with the ones that don't promise anything because they're probably going to be around the longest. So it's one of those things. It's like if they promise they're going to do it all for you and it's going to be great, it probably isn't.
Yeah. So, but.
All right. Well, thanks for the help, guys.
Thank you, Marcus. And of course, tell everybody where they can find your podcast.
Which one?
take your pick, man.
I am a co-host, which is the best podcast gig ever. I'm like the Ed McMahon of WordPress now. You can find me at WordPress Weekly, which is at wptavern.com, and also WordPress Plugins A to Z, wpplugins.com.
There you go. All right, my man. Well, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Yep, you too.
I have a feeling he was on his camera mic. We probably should have told him that.
Yeah, we could hear him. It was like, wow, there's lots of room noise, but that's okay.
He's a podcaster. I'm sure he sounds better when he's on his microphone. Oh,
That is the one, the only Marcus Couch. One of my, when people say, you know, what's one of the bonuses you get from podcasting? I go, you get to meet people like Marcus Couch. I mean, this is a guy that worked for Entrepreneur Magazine. He's a SEO guru. And he and I go back to the days of Pod Show with Adam Curry and that whole nine yards. Oh, so. Wow. Yeah, he was one of the original guys that was on the old Pod Show platform, another free media service that tried to do it with advertising.
Dave, the longer I hang out with you, the more I agree with you, which is a little scary. But the sense that you have said several times that you're like, you know, you don't like services that are free because just for that reason. And so, you know, kind of buyer beware on that. Yeah, you do get what you pay for. And so the more I think about it now, I've been kind of, as I look at services, I kind of evaluate them through that lens. You know, I'm like, what is the viable, you know, how are they going to make money? What we just talked about SoundCloud here a second ago. And you think about that. I think Rob Walsh on one of the Google Plus forums had talked about Stitcher in that same light. Now, you know, that they're still fun. They're still not making any profit off mm-hmm. what they're doing yet. That they're getting really super popular in what they do. So, you know, will that survive? The difference between Stitcher and, of course, like a SoundCloud is if you're using SoundCloud for hosting and they go away, that's a huge problem as opposed to Stitcher and they go away. Well, you've just basically lost an outlet, right? That's all you've lost right. if Stitcher goes away. So Stitcher is a good bet. From a risk standpoint, because you really don't lose anything if they go away, whereas SoundCloud or, you know, any other hosting service where you're uploading your stuff to them, you lose everything if they go away. And we've seen some services shut down overnight. They just close their doors and they're like, no warning. And, you know, and that's a thing to say. Another thing to say, you know, when you talk about your most valuable asset are your MP3 files. And if you're not backing them up and making sure they're in several locations, you know, if you've got them on your PC and then you upload them to the cloud and you think that's a backup, like your host provider, and you think that's your backup, you should probably have them in one more place in case that service closes down for some reason, you know, uploading it to a crash plan or moving it to another, you know, a OneDrive or a Google Drive or something where you've got them in some other location. You absolutely need to make sure those are backed up in a different spot and that you're not counting on your host provider as being that backup location, because they could shut their doors in a second.
So have you played with MediaFire? I'm looking at your website, their website, as we're talking, and I can see you can get 10 gigabytes for free. For $250 a month, you get a terabyte of space, 20 gigabytes per file.
Buy their annual plan. It's $25 for the whole year to do it that way. It's super cheap.
And it says,
you get a terabyte of space and 10 terabytes of bandwidth each month.
Each month. Yeah, that would be hard to you'd have to be really popular. But do you know if you get any kind of stats? But I guess that's where you bring in the blueberries and...
Exactly. You do get download stats. So that is one thing you get solid from them. You know how many... Like I noticed, I hit new and noteworthy last week. We talked about that. And I could see this jump in that one feed. You know, it was my video large feed that hit new and noteworthy. Still don't know how. No reviews. I was only getting 50 downloads a week. Yeah, it was new, but man, if that's the only requirement to be on new and noteworthy, come on. So I did see a jump. I did see a spike. So I can't see downloads. I don't get any location information. I mean, there's some great stats for Blueberry that I run those through so I can get those rich stats from them. But yeah, they've been a great host provider for me. We interviewed them on my show. So if you go back, if you go to theaverageguy.tv, search for MediaFire, you'll see the show and you'll get to meet, you'll meet the CEO as we talk about what they're doing there. And they're really open in the fact that they want to be a media. They actually want to get away from file structure and, you know, .mp3, whatever, and be more of a content provider for both audio and video. So that has been something I moved over there. And I think I've got, I don't know, 14 gig of files now on their site. And I plan to fill that sucker up, man. I'm going to use that thing. And it has been, again, 3 months I've been on it or so. Haven't run into any problems.
Yeah, Mark.
By the way, I have no affiliate link for them.
I just looked. They don't have an affiliate program. If they do, I don't.
And I don't want one. I'm getting away from, because I'm doing this so much now, I'm getting away from any affiliate relationships so I can say bad things about people when it's bad, you know, and not feel like I've got to sell everything that I every time I talk about something, I people are like, oh yeah, but you sell that. We've talked about that before. So.
Yeah. Mark Downing asks, is there a podcast that speaks with old school podcasters? Yes, that's called Podcast Reporter. That's where Sergeant Fred has been talking. He just did an interview with Rob Walsh about the different places you can go. And he's spoken with me. He's spoken with, I believe, Mike Dell was on there, if I remember right. Yes, I remember that. That was on there. It was an episode. There you go. So
Ryan Parker's saying he doesn't see the yearly option for MediaFire. Let me see. Maybe they changed that since I've started with them. They have been monkeying around, and I can't get to it. I'm here at Gallup, so I can't get to it. Even their monthly service is fairly reasonable to do. I think. Would you say $250 a month?
Is that what you said? It's normally $499.
If you choose the monthly option, and when you go to pay for it, I think maybe there's a checkbox that says annual.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
And I think, again, they're changing. He told me in the interview, they're trying to work it so they get it down to $10 a month. That's what they own. See, they're not using Amazon. They're not using any other cloud. They have built their own data servers in Houston. I think it's in Houston, or it's between Houston and Austin. They have their own data center, and they have all their own hardware. And so they own everything. They own their infrastructure. And so they're working at getting that cost per gig or cost per terabyte now down. And he was like, man, if we could sell it for $10 a terabyte, that's what we would do. It's like, wow. But this is cool because they won't do it until it's financially feasible. And they're making a profit at this point. It's a company that's surviving. They've been around 6 or 7 years and they're not necessarily on VC funding. So
yeah, it's when you go to order. It says, I'm at it right now. It says $249 a month. And then when you click the yearly button, it says $249 a year.
There you go.
That's like getting a free $10, you know, which actually, again, is, you know, I'm spending, I think, $7 a month for some of these shows that have pod faded. So I still get stats on Libsyn, but I'm not putting out any new content. And $7 is $7. I might it'd be the hassle of moving them and copying and pasting and
You got to copy paste. This is why I did it for a brand new feed, right? That I didn't want to go back and do a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to throw this new feed on there. That's where it's going to be. Let me give you some warnings about MediaFire real quick, because we had some of our tech guys. This is what's great about my Home Gadget Geek show. So we have a bunch of super smart tech guys that as soon as they talked about this, just hammered the platform.
Right.
Cool. They're like, oh, Jim, there are a few problems. So one, if you try to mass upload photos, they have like a 300 item limit per upload. So you can't just load a million things in. And if you got a lot of photos, you're probably going to need to separate those up and upload them separately. So there are some issues if you're trying to do if you're trying to upload them in mass. So that was one of the things just to think about. There, you know, it's like anything. You're going to find anytime you recommend anything, you're going to have guys. We talked about this at the beginning of the show. Anytime you're going to recommend something, you're going to have that smart guy out there that wants to prove you wrong and is going to break it. You know, no, what you're recommending is crap because I couldn't. And then they'll have the most obscure user case. You know, if I stood on one foot when it was a red moon and the, you know, in its fourth phase. And then I would, you know, and you're like, oh, come on. You know, how many people are going to do that? But it's okay. It's good. It's good feedback from the listeners. And we always appreciate that.
But they found the one thing. They proved you wrong.
They found the end of the internet. They got all the way to the end and they found it.
Awesome. Well, hey, it is, man, this time goes by fast.
No way.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It's that time already. But I am, you know, I said this kind of at the beginning. Any kind of feedback you guys have on what you're looking for. I know Ryan had some great feedback about panels in the chat room. He was saying, like, look, you need a moderator who's not part of the panel to keep people in check. And that's where I think my role is going to be, getting with these people to make sure, you know, especially for me with panels, I do not want to have a panel walk in there and go, well, we all know what we're talking about. We're just going to have a conversation and wing it. No, you're not. Not on my clock, you're not. I'm not going to tell you what to say, and I'm not going to tell you how to say it, but you better have some points. I don't want to see any winging it going it on. So that's the whole thing. And again, if you go over to podcastreporter.com, you can hear my conversation with Sergeant Fred about that. But, man, it's Saturdays are fun, but, man, they go by quick.
They do go by quick. We'll stay around for a little bit. Can you stay around for
another
show?
Yeah, I actually just looked because I was worried. I'm going to be on the new media show in 2 or 3 weeks with Todd and Rob. And I was like, is that today? I'm like, I'm checking my calendar behind the scenes. So, yeah, we'll hang around for a little bit. Always appreciate the live folks that come out. And if you can't make it, we appreciate you just as much. And you can find us here every Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Should always mention that you can get $20 off at the School of Podcasting by using the coupon code ASK20. And that'll get you right in. But you can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. And we'll see you again real soon with another episode of the Ask the Podcast Coach Show.